Good morning, everyone. It's lovely to see you all here. And let's come before the Lord in prayer. Yes, Heavenly Father, we want to come before you. We thank you, Lord, that we have entrance into your presence through the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, that you've opened up a new and living way for us, that we might be with you forever, that we might know you and be known by you, that we might love you and be loved by you. And Lord, we want to give you this time now and ask, Lord, that you, as the living God, speak to us and work in us by your Holy Spirit. Mould us, change us, Lord, make us and transform us more and more into the image of Jesus. Oh, Lord God, we want to invite you to be completely Lord, to strengthen our faith, that we might walk closely with you. Amen. Now, I don't watch a lot of films. I don't know if you do. But from the films that I used to watch, there seemed to be so many where you had like a hero who was going to save the world. So I think perhaps of some of the James Bond films. And so, of course, you have this suave individual, and there he is as the great hero who's able to turn the situation around. Or maybe you would think of someone like Sylvester Stallone or whatever. It doesn't take long to come up with quite a list of films and names. But just imagine, from God's perspective, you are going to bring in your great redemptive purposes for humanity, for mankind made in the very image of God. Now, the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, is going to come. And he's the sinless Son of Man. But to prepare the way, God is going to choose a sinful, mortal person, a hero to prepare the way and open up the possibility for every nation on this world to be blessed through Jesus. It's quite incredible, isn't it? And you think, well, if I was in that place, who on earth would I choose to be that hero to do that? I would not choose an old guy with his wife that were unable to have any children, that were living in tents, herding animals in the Middle East. It doesn't make sense from the world's perspective, one jot, because God's way of doing things is not the world's way of doing things. And today we're going to be looking at Abraham and Sarah and the example that they are of faith to us in our day. Now, we've been going through the book of Hebrews and we've come to chapter 11. And I said last time I was preaching that chapter 11 is where the writer to the Hebrews, he brings in witnesses before the people he's writing to, convincing them that Jesus Christ is the only way, the perfect sacrifice, the perfect priest, perfect in every way because he's God's solution. And for these messianic Jews, these Jewish believers, who were perhaps challenged in how they were living and had been considering, well, should we go back to the Old Testament? He's saying, look at these witnesses. And he brings a list of witnesses before them. And we started looking at some of them last month. First of all, oh, wait a minute, we should read, shouldn't we? I am so sorry. let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. So if you have your Bibles with you, Hebrews chapter 11, and I'll read from 1 to verse 16. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings, and by faith he still speaks, even though he's dead. By faith Enoch was taken from this life so that he didn't experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he didn't know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land, like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise, for he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age, and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father, because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so, from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They didn't receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, and they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. So the first witness that the writer to the Hebrews brings is creation itself. He's saying, look at what God has made. Creation is the indicator of a creator. It's a witness. What is seen was made from what is not visible. God spoke and it came into being. The second witness that he brings was Abel. And you remember that Abel, he made an acceptable offering. He brought the lambs as an offering. And a reminder of what was going to happen with our Lord Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God. So faith is also involved in bringing an offering to God. Faith involves walking with God. So Enoch, as we read as one of the ancestors of old, he walked with God. He pleased God, it says in Hebrews. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. So are we walking in step with the Spirit? Are we walking with God in daily lives? Noah is an example of hearing God. Faith isn't just hearing, of course, it's obeying. What he heard, he put into practice, and he became the means, not just of condemnation of the world, as it says in Hebrews 11, but also of salvation of his family of eight. But now we come to this old man, Abraham. Now, I don't know if you've ever traveled in the Middle East, but if you go off the beaten track, you'll often come across Bedouin encampments. Some of these places, they're still using tents. So you'll find these fairly large tents made of goat's hair. They'll often have a few camels around as well, even today. Though a lot of them will have SUVs instead. They tend to be faster than camels. But I imagine that Abraham was something like one of these tribal leaders. And if you know from reading Genesis, sort of chapters 12 and onwards, yeah, Abraham, he had originally moved with his father from a city called Ur, which is in the south of Iraq, and he had gone to a place called Haran, which today is in the south of Turkey. Many years ago, I went to this place. It's very interesting because they have mud buildings that look like beehives there. It's quite unique. I also remember it was incredibly hot when I was there as well. Not really a very attractive place to stay, but it was in Haran that God spoke to Abraham. And this is really what we're going to be looking at in more detail today. So this is from Genesis 12, 1 to 3. The Lord had said to Abraham, because his name was originally Abram, then became Abraham later on, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you and whoever curses you I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. This is an incredibly important promise that God was giving Abraham, because it wasn't just a promise for him. This was a promise for the nations. This was a global promise so many thousands of years ago that is still seeing its fulfillment in our day. This is completely relevant for each and every one of us today. The word spoken to Abraham that he believed in faith is a promise and a blessing for you and for me. Now I want to look at four parts of this promise. God spoke. And the first part is God told Abraham to leave. To leave the people he was comfortable with, to leave his family, to leave the place where he had adjusted and got used to. You see, if we're in a comfortable place where we have people around us, where we have all the resources that we need, we are not going to trust God. We will trust in our finances. We will trust in our connections. We will trust in our upbringing and the education that we have been given. But we will not trust in God if we are in a comfortable place. When God tells us it's time to get up and go, to move on. Now for Abraham, this was a physical place. He had to put his tent together, he had to gather his goats and his sheep and everything else, and he had to move to the place that God was showing him, the promised land, of course. But so many times, this get up and leaving can also be something spiritual as well, that where we're in a place where God is telling us to let go, to move on. It's time to pack up and to take a step in faith and to move onward with God. So the first part of the promise is to leave. And of course, this had to come from God. And I think that is also important. It's not you feeling that perhaps you should leave. It's sounding like I want to get rid of everyone. I don't mean that at all, of course. It doesn't mean anything based on our feelings. It's because Abraham heard God. God spoke. Is God speaking to you? Are you in a comfortable place and God is saying, come on, it's time to get up. It's time to move on in faith. There's a new place to go to, a place where my promises are, a place of blessing. But make sure that it's God's voice that's telling you that. Now, Abraham had to trust God. He had to trust God for guidance where to go. God was giving him direction, and God had a specific place to take Abraham. And we'll be looking more into that at a later time, God willing. But it's when you have taken a step into the unknown that you start trusting in the one who can be trusted. It's when you're on that adventure with God that you can no longer even trust yourself. You have to trust God each step of the way. So the second part of the promise and the second part of Abraham's faith in taking hold of this promise is that he had to trust God. There was nothing else that he could trust in. He couldn't trust in himself. He couldn't trust in the people around. He didn't have any connections that he was going to. He was going into the unknown, a place he didn't know, a place where he would be a stranger, a foreigner. But he trusted in God and in God's leading. It's not a comfortable place to be in. I think I'm speaking to people who know this from your own experience. Those times that you've stepped out in faith because God has told you and... oh, there's blessing there, but it's not a comfortable place from a worldly perspective, from a human perspective. But God also spoke and said to Abraham, I will bless you. You will be blessed. And this is also true. When we are walking in faith, when we are trusting in God, being obedient to what he has revealed to us, then there is blessing. Now, how people interpret that blessing can be interpreted in many different ways. But when you have a look at the life of Abraham and how he was blessed, ultimately, the blessing was that he was going to have a child. His own child through his wife, Sarah. But more than that, he was going to be a blessing. And that again is a part of faith. When we are being faithful to God, not only do we experience blessing, but we allow that blessing to flow to other people. And I think that this is just wonderful, actually, that sometimes we don't realize how special we are. We can be very conscious of our weaknesses and of the sinful nature that we're still battling against. There are all sorts of things there. And yet, each one of us who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ is so special. You are shining like a light and you are a blessing in polis. Polis is a better place because of you. Isn't that wonderful? You are a blessing. I hope that we want to be a blessing. And we need to pray for one another in something like this, that we're able to bring that blessing that God has into the particular community that we have connection with. So, whether it's at a dinner party that we might have, that we're able to be a blessing there. Whether it's a bowling competition, that we're able to be a blessing there. Whether it's in our workplace, that we're able to be a blessing for God there. It's part of the promise. And yes, like I said, sometimes we are just not conscious of who we are in Christ Jesus, of how special we are. And sometimes we lose that view that we have an opportunity here to bring something of God into the lives of people around us. So, Abraham then is an example of faith. He's a witness to us. Firstly, because he was obedient to God in that he left the place and the security that he had in Haran, that he went trusting God, being guided towards the promised land, that he was blessed through the birth of his son, and that he was going to be a blessing that continues even to today. Right. Now, we go on to a miracle, an absolute miracle. Now, God also said to Abraham, "As for Sarai, your wife, you are no longer to call her Sarai. Her name will be Sarah. I will bless her and will surely give you a son by her. I will bless her so that she will be the mother of nations. Kings of people will come from her." Abraham fell face down and he laughed. He laughed. Abraham laughed and said to himself, "Will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? You see, this is ridiculous. And ridiculous means you laugh at it. When it comes to the miracles of God, of course, from a worldly perspective, they're laughable. They're ridiculous. It cannot happen. And Sarah also laughed. Then there were these visitors turning up at Abraham's door. They're on their way to judge Sodom and Gomorrah. Then one of them said, "I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son." Now Sarah was listening at the entrance to the tent, which was behind him. Abraham and Sarah were already very old, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. So Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, "After I'm worn out and my Lord is old, will I now have this pleasure?" Then the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Will I really have a child now that I'm old?' Is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son." Sarah was afraid, and so she lied and said, "Oh, I didn't laugh." But he said, "Yes, you did laugh." And so, of course, we know that in due season, this old lady, and I feel rather sorry actually for Sarah, this old lady gave birth to a son. She was holding her own son. And what did they name the son? Isaac, which means he will laugh. They named the son after their laughter that they had actually responded to God's promises with. Isn't that wonderful? Every time Sarah held her baby, "I'm laughing, I'm laughing. This is laughter. I have reason to laugh because God has done something wonderful in my life. God has done a miracle in my life." Now the Lord was gracious to Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age, at the very time God had promised him. Abraham gave the name Isaac to the son Sarah bore him. And Isaac means he laughs. He laughs. Well, we see a wonderful example of faith in Abraham and Sarah. Firstly, in obeying what God had spoken, that they might leave, trusting in God, that they might both be blessed through the birth of a miraculous son, and at the same time, eventually become a global blessing. We see that God did a miracle. He will perform every promise. It is yes and amen in Jesus Christ. It might take a miracle. It might make you laugh, but God will do it. And again, if you have been walking with Jesus for any time, I'm sure that you have experienced those occasions where God has just stepped in, has changed things around, and the only response is to laugh at the wonder of what God has done. Now, of course, the world laughs, but the world laughs out of disbelief. You talk about miracles and, no, don't believe that. So there's a sort of mocking laughter. That's not the sort of laughter that we're talking about with Isaac. With Isaac, we're talking about the laughter where you just realize God's ways are so much higher than our ways. That God is a great God. That God surprises. God does the unexpected even in our lives. We have reason to laugh through our faith in a wonderful God. Amen.